Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. I'm Gus Bird, sitting here with...
Rafael Mganda. There you go.
You always act surprised when we do that. Thank you for joining us. This for those of you who this is your first time listening, this is a podcast where we give the preacher from the previous Sunday some time to talk about the sermon a little more. Maybe include something they had to cut out, or maybe go more in depth to something they had to, they just had to breeze over during the sermon because they only get so long in the pulpit. So this is really has been a blessing to our church to hear the extra tidbit, the other half of the rabbit hole. And so what we like. We always start off our question, or our first question, if I could talk. Our first question that we start off with is, Pastor, if you had 10 more minutes with our church, what would you share with them?
I mean, the biggest thing, obviously, would be just looking at, you know, the command to love God, you know, just being that first one, being the first, and really, I wanted to spend even some more time on just like, why this one, if you break this one, and you know, it's a slippery slope for all the other nine, and why then God really has to keep on having to just really call people to this. And it's obviously like a safeguard. It's a safeguard. It's like guardrails for the people of God. And what really at the end of the day, especially when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, you get to see God saying these commandments are for your good, And this is very important. It's something that like I just wanted to really just spend some more time in, and just showing that, and I use the baseball analogy that basically like if you hit a home run and then you skip the first base, if you touch all the other bases, then it's not even it's not good. Mm-hmm. So really, just I think from the front end, even here. When God is really calling for exclusivity, that exclusivity is not just only just because his jealousy has our good embedded inside. Mm-hmm. You know, he's calling us to do it. Simply, it's a lot more to do with us. And so even just when you now follow that call to exclusivity, I was reading the Joshua chapter 24, and I used on Sunday, at least I used I used Joshua chapter 24 verse 14, but really like where God is saying, where Joshua is saying, hey, if God is God, serve him. And he's saying, put away your idols, if God is God, serve him. And you're seeing over and over in the Bible where basically like there's this call of like the exclusivity of like, hey, worship me, everything is gonna go great for you. But man, if you think there's another God, and Isaiah 40 is gonna say, to whom will you compare me with? If you think you're gonna get better anywhere else, go there. That's what Elijah says, even in Mount Carmel, like in on the mountain in 1 Kings 18, where he's like, why would you stand between two opinions? If God is God, worship him. But if Baal is God, go ahead, you know? I was also reading even Gideon, which is kind of reading Gideon when he's gone and he's cut down the poles, you know, the Asherah poles. And basically the challenge is that, like, before you kill him, if he's still alive tomorrow and Baal doesn't do anything about it, like, then you know, if God is, if Baal does something, then he's a real God. But Baal doesn't do anything. So there's just like a, it has just made me realize that his commands are really, really for our good. And the best way to really even drill deep and to understand that his commands being for our good is maybe actually just going back to the garden at the beginning, where God says, don't do this. If you do it, you will die. And after they have done it, they actually die. You know, mm-hmm. They really just like, they're separated with him. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, man, like, it must have been really, you know, just reading scripture, it must have been really hard for God to actually even say, let's drive them out from this garden that I designed them for. Mm-hmm. This beautiful place that had everything to eat. And he had told them, don't eat this one. But then at the end of it, that story is just the tragedy of it, is just watching the angels now driving them out of the garden so that they don't eat from the tree of life. Like, that just basically kind of like puts the weight for like, puts the weight on that Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13, where he says, keep these commandments, but they're for your good. Mm-hmm. And even just really building a lot more on just that motive of like, why is it important for me to follow God and to keep commandments and to do, and I, on Sunday, I just kind of used that, there's a bottomless ocean of joy behind that. And that joy is just, it's, and we see that in Ephesians as well, chapter 3, where Paul says that, like, I want you to know the height and the, you know, and the depth and the width and the breadth of God's love, like, that surpasses knowledge. That, like, if you were to follow him, you know, follow him in that, it always just leads to joy. That's Psalm 16 as well. So really at the end of the day, it's just like, it's, you can read these commands as from God and just kind of maybe shake, like, you know, like really just like fight against them. But when you peel the layer behind that, it's almost like God doesn't need anything from us. Mm-hmm. What really is behind that is he is securing our joy by giving us. And that joy is secured, especially when we have that exclusive love towards him, you know. And I mean, the last thing was really just for me that I would have pressed even a lot more as well was, which is actually like, I'm looking through all those commands and I'm seeing how basically, like, when you're reading them, you realize how impossible they are to keep. Simply because we're in Adam. Mm-hmm. And then when you finally really go deeper into why should we, after reading these commands, turn to Christ uniquely, every one of them, is simply because Jesus has kept all of them perfectly, you know? Where we have an F, he has an A, an A plus, you know? He has perfectly kept all this. So that's what makes him the right kind of savior. The savior who fulfills the law on our behalf, but then also now lets us actually, opens a way for us to now to enjoy God, right? To enjoy God. Like, where at the end of the day, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And all of a sudden, that becomes almost the same pattern, as in like God speaks to them and says to them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of slavery. And then after that, he gives them the command. Mm-hmm. The gospel is going to say, no, first of all, also you need to see what God has done for you at the cross, how he has lavished his love for you. And out of that love, that's when now you can finally like love him even more. You know, you can love him more. So, just really maybe the practical kind of just like daily gospel intentional, like just turning towards God in order not to just try to crank my love for him, but turning towards him in order for him to even enable me to love him even more. Because it's only when we depend on, and the beautiful thing about the gospel is that he has poured his spirit in us. And if I really continue to open my sails, and let the wind of the Spirit, you know, and just really like follow the Holy Spirit, follow like what he convicts, what he, you know, follow his word and follow the words that Christ has commanded, at the end of it all, there is an ocean of joy. Even if it's going sometimes through tunnels of suffering, right? Even when our idols are requiring all the other gods around us are really now even oppressing us to get attention from us, the fight at the end of the day always ends with what? With joy. So yeah, that's my 10 minutes.
Yeah. So if somebody came to you and said, you know, Pastor Raph, I'm really struggling with making God first in my life. Like, I know that's the problem. I just can't seem to do it. What would you say to them?
I mean, that's now where basically, like, you know, I spend a little bit more time on the how the every command has like the two sides rule, where if there's a negative, there should be a positive to it. So when it says don't have any other gods, then really the command is that pressing into the God you have, get to know him. So one of the ways we open the floodgates, like I should have thought of this. This is good. if I'm struggling to put God first, like I should go and really stand underneath the waterfall of his love. Like, what does that look like? Really, that's, and I kind of just gave, like, where it's like, hey, listen, in the hard times, and I used marriage as an example, in the hard times and in the good times. For example, I saw your wife put a post today of how much she loves you and how much, and what was she celebrating the most? It was the hard times. The fact that your love has been consistent in the hard times, right?
It's because I fixed a toilet in our bathroom.
Yeah. And you know, she's just kind of like, but that's marriage though. Like, and just in terms of like, man, like in the hard times, and sometimes like the hard times and all that stuff, like we tend to make a mistake of decreasing the intensity of pursuit in the hard times. Mm-hmm. That's actually like what, like for me, those hard times I should be the ones where it's like, man, slowing down when you're stuck in a desert, like is colossal. I feel like it's just, if you find yourself in a rough patch, you should be trying to get out of there as quick as you can. So slowing down when you're now in a desert and you still have a little bit, like for me, that's actually like what I would say to that person. Hey, listen, find, continue to go, and, you know, even if you're in a desert, do you have this little moments of like where God, where at least like what has he given you to carry through the desert? His word. Like, so at least like look at the word as not the mirages, like look at the word as the little puddles where in the morning you, or those little puddles where you get like some water and you just drink a little bit and it sustains you through the desert. But even through that, if you at least are just depending on him, depending on the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and doing all that, when finally delight comes in, it's gonna overwhelm you even more. But like that's actually like what we celebrate in a lot of like marriages, for example. It's the fact that like, man, you've been the same in the hard times as you've been. So I would say then really just like what I say, developing that ruthless loyalty in the midst of a dry season, so that finally, like, you know, when finally like that good season comes in, it's almost you come out stronger in adversity, really. So I would say that person just needs to maybe just like basically like go to the very place where God has promised to meet you. Like, go to that very place, feast on who God is, continue to get to know him, continue to, you know, just to get to know him and what he has done. We love because he's first loved us. And so that's at least would be, the first thing would be, wake up every single day, gaze at the cross, gaze at who he is, gaze at who you are, gaze, you know, just continue to really just eat all that. And then at least that becomes a way by which at least his love begins. Our love for him is not something we conjure up. It's something that we grow in because we see his love for us. So at least just like really sit there, sit as, you know, it's almost like that person that says, hey, meet me here. Just continue to go there and meet them there. Meet him there. So of which scripture, prayer, you know, believers, like those are just, I would say those are the, like at least what I would look at as a waterfall. Like if I want to really just like, don't stop reading his word, don't stop responding and praying and even confessing your doubts and your confessing and repenting of your idols. And asking yourself, what is it, if I'm not loving God, what is it that I'm loving more? Because there's definitely something you're loving more than that is actually like. And then if you maybe are struggling to figure that out, at least maybe look at your bank account, look at your time, look at your, what is it that consumes you the most? What is it? And then like, you know, there could be some questions that at least can be able to actually distill, like figure out what it is that, if I'm not loving God, what God is actually taking most of my love, you know? And then, but you see, the word of God at least helps us with that. And then other believers, you know, get in community, don't withdraw, get and other believers. But then at the same time as well, like figure out a way in which you can, I think one of them as well, in which you can listen to other people tell you about what he has done, and you know, and then not only that, like people that can at least be praying with you. Yeah. So I think just place yourself under the waterfall. Where is it that his love flows the most? Like that at least, like what's the most guaranteed place? What I love about our church building here is the fact that like for example, like you can never say, so for example, if somebody is my friend, they could never say that I don't know where Raphael is because I'm stagnant. Like everyone comes and goes and does all that, but you know exactly that if I go on a Sunday morning, at least I might miss him on one Sunday, but I know he's gonna be there. You see what I mean? Like it's just one of those things where I'm like the most, you know, you and I are the most predictable people. Like, where at least, like, if you know you want to have a really serious conversation with Raphael or Gus, you know exactly where to go. And you know exactly where, like, man, if I go on a Sunday, if I go on such a day, they're going to be there. Hmm. Where are the places where God has promised that he's always going to be there? I think his word. I think in prayer. I think in his people. Hmm. And all those things then become, like, when the psalmist in Psalm 73 gets cold and he is just like almost, his foot is almost slipping away. And he says this, then I went to the sanctuary. Until I went to the sanctuary, then everything kind of like, after that he ends up in hotly in love with God. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing I desire besides you. But it's always like that sanctuary where God has promised, if you come here, I'm going to be here. And make sure that you rendezvous with God there, every, almost on a daily basis. Yeah. Hmm. So.
That's good.
I use a big word, rendezvous. Gosh.
Rendezvous. Yeah, that's a big word.
That's a big word. That is. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time, for your faithfulness. For those who are listening, if you haven't heard the sermon, please go back and do so. This is supposed to be an addition to, not a replacement of, the sermon. So if you go back to our podcast, you'll see the sermon from this last Sunday. And hope it really blesses you as it already has blessed many in our church. So if you guys have any questions and you have any prayer requests or needs, please feel free to reach out to us. One way to reach out to us is by emailing info@citychurchpa.org. You can also submit prayer requests and get a hold of us via the Church Center app. So again, if you need anything, have any prayer needs, please let us know. So thank you for listening. This is Gus Bird and
Raphael.
Hope you have a blessed week. God bless.
All right, God bless.